I'll open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hope we can be encouraged and find the power to live out what we've heard this weekend. I greatly appreciate the ministers that I've spoke. I want you to know that God has used you as His instrument. So I praise God and thank you for your effort, just in case I don't get to speak to all of you. So the message this afternoon is holiness and hope, and I will be brief. I'm losing 2 hours on my way back home with the time change and driving back to Eastern time. So last month, Jessica and I were blessed to travel to Cambodia. I was somewhat excited when I got the flight arrangements. I saw I was going to have the opportunity to fly on the new Airbus 380. The occupancy, I think, is around 550 people. It's an enormous airplane, over 5,000 square feet. But excitement or anticipation of arriving in Cambodia was not the energy by which the plane flew. It took jet fuel. It took large engines to accelerate on the runway and to ascend up to our cruising altitude of 40,000 feet. And excitement alone cannot fuel us to fulfill what we've heard taught this weekend. It's going to take the power of God. And we receive that power through faith. So this afternoon I want to encourage us to consider sanctification, the expression or the work of God's grace in our life, whereby we are being conformed to the image of Christ. And to recognize that sanctification is by grace through faith. Our activity is energized by grace, and we lay hold of that grace by faith. So recognize this afternoon that there are many challenges that we face in our purity, especially living in a culture where it just seems like there's more access, or access is easier to certain images. Men today can look at pornography in the privacy of their office or their bedroom. So many opportunities through media. But our generation is not the first generation of men that have been challenged in this area. Recently, I was reading a biography of Henry Martin, and the biography had a lot of his writings, his journal recordings. Now, Henry Martin was a remarkable young man. He entered Cambridge University when he was 16. He took honors in mathematics. And around the age of 20, he was converted to Christ. And he had a deep desire, longing to preach the gospel in India, which he did. He left England in 1805, arrived 9 months later in India in 1806. He was used mightily of God. He was very instrumental in translating and revising the Bible in the Hindustani and Persian vocabulary. Those Bibles, Hindustani and the Persian Bibles. He actually had the opportunity. After his work in India, he ministered in Persia or present-day Iran. And he actually died as a young man. He was 31. He died from tuberculosis. But shortly before he left for India, he recorded on May the 30th, 1805, "Kept the covenant with my eyes pretty well. Oh, what a bitter experiences have I had to teach me carefulness against temptation. I have found this method, which I have sometimes had recourse to, useful today, namely, that of praying in ejaculations for any particular person whose appearance might prove an occasion of sinful thoughts, after asking of God that she might be as pure and beautiful in her mind and heart as in body, and be a temple of the Holy Ghost, consecrated to the service of God, for whose glory she was made. I dare not harbor a thought of an opposite tendency." So that was in 1805. Let's go back 1700 years to what the early church was faced with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul wrote, "For this For this is the will of God, verse 3. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or passions, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. First point I want to notice is your battle against lust. And it is your battle. We, in the work of God transforming us into the image of Christ, we are an active participant. The believer in sanctification is a participant. This is the work of God's grace, whereby we are being transformed into the image of Christ, and we're not passive. We're not passive in sanctification. Now, when God made us alive in Christ, regeneration, we were passive. But beginning that, the moment we are created in Christ, made alive in Christ, we begin to actively pursue holiness. We fight temptation. We've heard this weekend how we are to battle against lust. We fight against temptation. We use the means of grace to overcome sin. There is effort. There is exertion. We strive against sin. We abstain from impurity. We crucify the flesh. We mortify the deeds of the body. We put off the old man. We put on the new man. We pluck out our eye. We amputate our arm. And often, correct, it's hard, difficult, arduous work. It takes discipline. Sanctification is a demanding spiritual exercise that takes great pain and effort. Your battle against lust. Notice six things here in the verses we read. First of all, this is the will of God. This isn't murky. This isn't esoteric. This isn't something that we are still trying to decide as to whether or not God has designed this for us. God has revealed to us that it is His will, it's right here in His Word, that He has called us unto holiness. So this is not in question. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, your personal holiness. Second, we are to use our body. We are to use our body to honor and glorify God. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, because it's our reasonable service. We're to use our bodies for God's honor. Third, we're not to live like unbelievers. We're living in a culture where impurity is encouraged. Purity is mocked, ridiculed. Living a life of holiness, chastity, is demeaned and made fun of. It's not respected. But we're not to live like the unbelievers live. Fourth, fornication, this type of sin, is destructive. Not only to our own life, but also it's destructive to others. It harms others. Pornography, immorality, destroys marriages. It breaks up homes. When we're guilty of that, it discourages our brothers and sisters in Christ. It discourages fellow believers. So this sin is destructive to others. Fifth, Paul expresses that God will judge. God will revenge sin. Marriage in Hebrews 13 is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled that whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So God will judge fornication. He will chasten His people severely at times. And He will also bring eternal judgment upon those for whom the blood of Christ does not wash away that sin. And then six, God's call is unto holiness. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So the effectual call of God that unites us with Christ is a call to holiness. Because it's the call of a holy God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us to Christ. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Other scriptures, again, where we see our responsibility to actively pursue holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, body, mind, soul, flesh and spirit, externally, internally, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Our participation. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 6:19, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We are to be an active participant in pursuing holiness. And it's difficult, it's hard. But we are not to be paralyzed by despondency. We are not to become discouraged that we cease fighting. Recently, I had written in my journal, it was an occasion where I just was reading the Word of God and my soul was flooded with the Spirit of God, and I became just delighted in Christ. And at the same time, I began to break out with a cold sweat because I thought, this is not going to last. I will sometime in the future battle sin and will not experience the fellowship that I was enjoying at that moment. And if we're not careful, we can become despondent and discouraged, because we do recognize when I would do good, evil is present. So here is how I want to offer hope to you from the Word of God. Not only is it your battle against lust, it's also God's battle against your lust. It is God's battle against your lust. Here's the hope and encouragement in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God will sanctify you. Your sanctification is God's work of sanctification. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. So be encouraged to recognize that it is God's will to sanctify you. You are not alone in your fight against sin. Consider the divine side, the divine perspective. It's not by your own ability. It's not through your own resources. It's not by your innate strength. It is by the power of God that we, through faith, rely upon, rest in, trust in God for. This is expressed by a theologian of old who wrote, O Lord, command what you will and give what you command. Give God me the grace that I might respond obediently to your call of holiness. David expressed this in Psalm 119. For all the promises of God, Psalm 119:35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Give me such an overwhelming view of your glory and your beauty in your word that I delight in your word, so that it inclines me, it makes me, it motivates me, it is the engine that fuels my sanctification. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. And the reason we can rest in the promises of God that He will fulfill what He has called us to be is because the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For all the promises of God are in Him, Jesus. They are yea or yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So the promises of God, and in light of what God has purposed to do to save His people, are going to be fulfilled in Christ. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They are yes. God says of His Son, He is my eternal yes. Everything that I have promised to do for my people is fulfilled in Christ. He is the yes. And we amen that promise fulfilled in Christ. We affirm the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding amen. And God derives glory from that. So all the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. Amen. And God is glorified. So it's God's battle against your lust. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So God has chosen you. The end is to sanctify you through the Spirit and to give you faith so that you might believe in Christ and His truth. Listen to what Jesus prayed in John 17:17. This is God's battle against your lust. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them. So where is the power? Where is where are the resources? In the God of heaven. And in the means that He has provided, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:10-11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. We trust in Christ. John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait, trust. Again, this is not passivity. We are actively obeying God, but we are trusting in God. We are waiting upon God, relying upon God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you telling me, Brother Jamie, that through Jesus Christ, God will work in me that is which is well-pleasing in His sight? Yes! Are you saying that through Jesus Christ, Brother Jamie, that God will sanctify me by His truth? Yes! Are you saying that if I come to God and confess to Him the dark, sleazy sins of my heart, that He will cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Yes! Are you saying that if I come to God in faith and I ask Him for grace so that I might be renewed, that He will grant it unto me? Yes! Are you saying that through Jesus Christ I can overcome the world? Yes! These are the promises of God that are fulfilled in Christ, and we affirm that with amen to the glory of God. The encouragement, the hope, is through trust and dependence upon the Lord, because we have the divine promises fulfilled in Christ. We're encouraged, we're inspired, We are freed from being paralyzed by fear and despondency. My brothers, this afternoon, realize that Jesus Christ, He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. You are aided by omnipotence as you fight against sin, supported by the Holy Spirit in pursuing holiness, enabled by the power of God to overcome lust. You are strengthened by grace to see and desire the beauty of Christ above the passions of the flesh, assisted by the efficacy of God's call to pursue purity, sustained by Jesus Christ in your spiritual struggle. The cross has secured divine power to give you victory in battle. You are bolstered by heaven's authority when temptation arises. You are advanced in holiness by the supremacy of Christ within you. Christ is your advocate and intercessor. You have been translated into the kingdom of God. Recognize that in your soul, Jesus reigns. Sovereign authority is working all things for your good. You are guided by omniscience, guarded by the King of Kings, upheld by His mighty arm. You have Jesus Christ, the hope of glory within you. The Holy Spirit of God resides in your soul. And God has affirmed that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The promise is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The promise of God is, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So your battle against sin is God's battle against your sin. Brethren, I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I leave with you the words of our dear Savior and Redeemer. If you're struggling today with sin, the burden is too heavy. Maybe through the messages that you have heard for the first time, you have come under conviction for your sin. You've seen the horrible nature that you yourself carry. Your sin has been committed against a holy God. You're wondering, what can I do to free myself from the uncleanness and the impurity that I feel? Whether you have just been awakened or whether you've been a Christian that has backslidden, listen to the words of Christ and respond to His call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.